He changed. He changed me. But let me say something about that song. Tie it in, just lead right on into the sermon this morning. Without that blood applied. Are y'all hearing that? Y'all don't miss this in the song. It says, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. The application of the blood is the most important aspect of the blood in the life of a believer. The blood of Jesus Christ, it was powerful enough. It is powerful enough to forgive all sin. It's powerful enough to cleanse from all sin. But its power is only effective in those who apply it to their lives. A lesson that was taught in Exodus chapter number 12 with the Passover lamb. A lamb that had to be killed in the evening, which, by the way, Jesus fit every requirement for the Passover lamb in Exodus. Jesus fulfilled in his death on the cross. But the main aspect back in Exodus 12 was this. The blood had to be applied to the doorposts. For the promise was this. When the death angel comes, he says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It wasn't good enough just to kill the lamb. It wasn't good enough to make the sacrifice in secret and hide it all in the house. The blood had to be applied to the door, or the death angel would enter in. As long as the death angel seen the blood applied, then he would pass over the home. Now, what does that mean for the believer? That means that, yes, Jesus died and his blood is able to save you. But until it is applied to your life, there will be no passing over you. Is everybody with me? I think a lot of folks is still in this mindset. We'll just look at some scripture. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter number 1. I'll also read a little bit out of Matthew chapter number 3, but for the sermon and the purpose of the sermon will be in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. This ain't part of the sermon, but I'm going to read a couple of verses that I just like. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse number 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I like it. Two wonderful verses right there. A verse that tells us that Jesus was with the Father before the world began and that he was God. And then a verse that tells us that that same Jesus came in the flesh. That Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, let's get to the sermon. Is everybody with me? All right. So, Let me see here. I was going to start reading in verse number 26. I'm thinking about reading up farther than that, all right? We'll read verse number 26. We'll start right there, all right? If you know your Bible, well, let me just give you a little bit of introduction here. If you know your Bible, John chapter number 1, as we begin, we run into an interesting character in John chapter number 1. And his name is John the Baptist, not to be confused with John the Apostle, who wrote the book of John. This is John the Baptist, all right? He was called John the Baptist because he baptized. You want to know why we're called Baptists? For the same reason, because we baptize, all right? So, same reason, all right? So, John the Baptist is on the scene. Now, he is an important character in your Bible, all right? He's not somebody in your Bible that we just breeze on through and just get out of the way and everything else. For his birth, his life was prophesied of. And so he came to prepare a way for the Messiah. All right, if you know anything about your Bible, you'll know that he was kin to Jesus in a physical sense, as his mother, Elizabeth, was the cousin of Mary. And so we know that John has a pedigree of being related to Jesus Christ. We also know that John had parents that were very much involved in the work of the Lord. John's father was very much involved in the work of the Lord. Now, I say all of this before I read you scripture because I want you to know that he had a good upbringing. He had a good biblical, if you will, upbringing. He had good parents. He had a good pedigree. If anybody would have been saved, it would have been all the kinfolk of Jesus. I need somebody to help me. If anybody would have been saved, it would have been somebody whose parents were brought up around the temple and in the temple doing the work of the Lord. John had some peculiar methods. We'll go and read about some of these things, but man, he had camel's hair all over him and he was eating locusts and honey and all of that. I need somebody to help me right here. John was a bad man. Oh, is everybody all right? Man, we look at most of these Bible characters like they some little old skimpy guys running around. These were some men. I'm talking about Moses killed somebody with his bare hands. David killed Goliath. David killed everybody. I mean, David killed so many people, God wouldn't even let him build the temple, all right? And so, anyhow, all these men in the Bible, they were sure enough, they were manly men. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'll move on. But John the Baptist, I mean, he comes out of nowhere, out of the wilderness, and he's in camel's hair, and I mean, he's eating locusts, and he's eating honey, and he's preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, he's bringing the mail. Is everybody with me? All right, and so here he is. John, he's got good parents. He's got a good upbringing. He's been prophesied of. He's in the family of Jesus Christ. He's got some weird peculiarities and some weird practices. He goes around preaching and baptizing people, all right? But I want you to listen as we read in John chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 26. And John answered them and saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now that was is everybody catch that? You know your Bible, John was born 6 months before Jesus was. But John recognized that Jesus came before him. Verse number 31. Here we go. And I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Verse number 33, here's the phrase again. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. As we read the scripture, John gives us a little insight into how everything transpired right here by the River Jordan. John had already baptized Jesus. This is not where Jesus is baptized. That had already taken place. We know this because of his testimony that he seen that dove descend onto Jesus Christ. But what John does give us some insight about was John said that though he was around him and though he knew him in a physical sense, there was a spiritual aspect that he knew him not. I need somebody to hear me this morning. There's a lot of folks that are running around with some knowledge about Jesus Christ, but they don't really know him. They don't really know him. They have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's some things that they know about him. There's some things that they've heard about him. There's some things that they have read about him, but they do not know him. Maybe there's somebody in this building this morning, and though you have a knowledge of Jesus, you may be able to even stand up and do the works of a Christian, but you do not know him. You got to remember, John was baptizing, but his confession was, I knew him not. John was baptizing and he was doing the work that God had sent him to do, but his confession was, I knew him not. John had a pedigree. He had he was kin to Jesus Christ. If there was anybody that should have known Jesus, it would have been John the Baptist. If there was anybody that would have known every aspect of Jesus, it would have been Jesus or John the Baptist. He had parents that worked in the temple. He had parents that did the work of the Lord. And yet, John's testimony was, I knew him not. His dad even knew who Jesus was, but John said, I knew him not. I need a teenager to hear me right now. Just because mama's saved, just because daddy's saved, just because they're doing the work of a Christian in the church house does not mean that you are saved. Just because mama has a relationship with God doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. Just because daddy has a relationship with God does not mean that you have a relationship with God. Just because granny knows how to pray doesn't mean that you have a relationship with God. You're not going to ride somebody else's coattails into heaven. You're not going to get there because of your name and who you are. John had all those things, and yet his confession was, I knew him not. John was peculiar. He dressed different than everybody. I need somebody to hear me this morning. Hey, just because you dress different than everybody else and you do things different than everybody else doesn't mean that you go into heaven. There's a lot of people that are depending upon how they act in public. Well, I'm a good person. Yeah, I'm a good person. I do this and I do that, but listen to me. That don't get you saved. Somebody got to hear me this morning. Now, I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to help you this morning. The fact is that John had every advantage to being saved, and yet he says, I knew him not. There's a lot of people running around claiming that, well, my mama, I heard one person say this one time, I've always been saved. No. Matter of fact, I got a Bible that says you always been lost. I got a Bible that says you've always been lost. You just going on a feeling about you always been saved. Fact of the matter is that we're running around in a day and time in a society where Jesus is everywhere. He's on every billboard. Man, you can't even go down the interstate without seeing things about Jesus. I mean, we have every advantage of the world to being saved, and yet there are a lot of people that walk amongst us that are not saved. You ain't saved because of who your parents are. You ain't saved because of your pedigree. You ain't saved because of your peculiarities. You're not saved because of your practices. I mean, here John is going out baptizing people. He's doing the work of the Lord. Here he is going out and preaching, repent. He's doing the work of the Lord, Justin. But his own confession was, I knew him not. I wonder this morning, do you know him? Oh, I need somebody to help me. I wonder this morning, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Or do you just have knowledge of Jesus? There's a lot of people that have knowledge of Jesus that don't know him. Do you have a relationship with him this morning? This is for the Christians. I need somebody to help me. You're going to claim that you know him and you know him in a personal way as a Savior, then you ought to have a relationship with him. Amen. And if I don't have a relationship with him, then can I really claim that I know him? Oh, I think y'all got to help me. Now, I mean, if I don't work at my relationship with him, then do I really know him? Because if I really knew him, wouldn't I work on my relationship? Y'all ready? Y'all ready for me to move on? How did John know him? How did John know him? And I say the same way that John knew him is the same way that you and I are going to know him. Is everybody ready? All right. How did John know him? I want you to look at number one, the sovereign evidence. The sovereign evidence. John's already spoken of it here in scripture. And he said this. He says in verse number 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And so John, when he was baptizing Jesus, the Bible says that in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And listen right here in verse number 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so John had sovereign evidence that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And so John believed that Jesus was. And a matter of fact, in John chapter number 1 over here, he said this, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And so John had sovereign evidence that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and he did not know him until he seen this sovereign evidence. Can I say this? That ain't the only time that God spoke up out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. A matter of fact, there was a time on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus and the disciples went up and Elijah and Moses showed up on that mountain, and old Peter, the spokesman that likes to stick his foot in his mouth, he said, oh, we should build 3 temples, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And God said, nope. And he spoke again out of heaven, and he said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. In other words, ain't nobody else matters. Twice God spoke out of heaven and declared that Jesus Christ was the only begotten. It was his beloved Son. It was the anointed one. It was the Christ. It was the one that would free us from sin. I need somebody to help me. John had sovereign evidence that God said Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Maybe you're questioning that today. Maybe you're wondering, is Jesus really the Messiah? God said he was. Is everybody all right? I need somebody to help me now. God said he was. For those of you that are counting on your mama and your daddy and counting on everything else in the world, your works and how you look and all these other things, know this. God has declared that Jesus is the Messiah. There's sovereign evidence. There's sovereign evidence that he is the Messiah, which is the Savior of the world. Not only do we see sovereign evidence, but there is scriptural evidence. There was scriptural evidence. There was scriptural evidence in Jesus' birth. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15 that this child would be of the woman's seed, of her seed. This is a direct reference to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, which Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse number 14 clearly said that this Messiah would be born of a virgin. In Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14, John knew the scripture, and John knew Mary, and therefore John knew that the scripture was fulfilled in Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. So not only did John have sovereign evidence, But he had scriptural evidence. You know we have scriptural evidence today. I'm just giving you a little bit of it. But Jesus was born of a virgin. He came. Is everybody all right? Y'all do believe that, don't you? If you don't, we got a lot of business to take care of right now, all right? So Jesus was born of a virgin. That's very important. It's not something that's just, that's a cool little thing in Scripture. That's not just a cool little thing in Scripture. That is Scripture. That is very much a necessity of mine and your salvation. We see the scriptural evidence. We see he's born, or her seed, or the woman's seed, the born of a virgin. We see in Micah chapter number 5, verse number 2, that this Messiah would be born of Bethlehem. John would have known that. John would have known where Jesus was born. Can I say this about John 2? That when Mary came to see Elizabeth, and Mary told Elizabeth that she was pregnant with Jesus, that the Bible says that the babe, John the Baptist, in the womb of Elizabeth, jumped. But yet, his confession, are y'all hearing me? His confession was, I knew him not. I need somebody to hear me this morning. Just because you have knowledge of all the events that went on in Christ's life does not mean that you know him. If John the Baptist could say of Jesus, I knew him not, how many people are sitting on a pew this morning that don't know him? That don't know him. If John could say this about Jesus, how many people are sitting today that could be said of them? That they do not know him. John knew he had sovereign evidence. He had scriptural evidence that Jesus was Messiah. How about this? At the end of John's life, he sent some people back to Jesus. Y'all remember that? He sent some disciples back to Jesus and he told them, he said, hey, I want you to go and ask him, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? Are y'all hearing me? This is John the Baptist. This is the one, Dalton, that God prophesied of in the Old Testament. This is the one that was born just 6 months before Jesus, knew everything about him and grew up around him. And yet he claims, I knew him not. And at the end of John's life, he even goes back and doubts whether or not Jesus is even Messiah. And he sent his disciples to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they said, hey, they said, are you the one? John sent us to ask you, are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? You know what Jesus told him? He said, y'all go back. Y'all go back and you go back and you tell John what you've seen. You go back and you tell John what you've heard. How that the lame walk. How that the lepers are cleansed. He tells him he had scriptural evidence. Why? Because he went back to Isaiah. And the Messiah would do all these things when he came. The scriptural evidence of his birth. The scriptural evidence of his life. We see Isaiah 40 tells us that John would be the forerunner to Christ or the Messiah. Isaiah 53 tells us about Jesus that he would be despised and rejected. Zechariah chapter number 9 tells us that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Isaiah chapter number 61 said that the Christ, the anointed one, would come preaching. And Jesus used that same scripture to describe who he was. To answer whether or not he was the Christ. So John had sovereign evidence that Jesus was the Savior. He had scriptural evidence, not only of his birth and not only of his life, but do you know that John had scriptural evidences of his death? The Bible tells us that in Zechariah chapter number 11, the Bible says in prophecy that Jesus would be ransomed for 30 pieces of silver. Is that not what was given to Judas? The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter number 22, David writes as though he's writing about himself, but David is prophesying of Jesus Christ. And he says that he is forsaken. He says that he is mocked.
in Psalm 22. He says that his hands and his feet are pierced in Psalm 22. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's scriptural evidence all the way through the life of Jesus, from his birth to his life to his death, that he is the Messiah. And yet there's many people that don't know him. Psalm 31 tells us that he had to commit his spirit to God, that it wasn't taken from him. So Isaiah chapter number 53 describes it as he was a lamb as unto the slaughter. He was grave. His grave was with the wicked and the rich. And Isaiah 53 tells us that he was an offering for sin. There's scriptural evidence. I need somebody. See, we all sitting around, we're not looking at ourselves. Hey, somebody sitting in this building this morning and you got it all together. Your mom and daddy grew up in church. They've been in church. All you've ever known is church. You grew up in church, so you just think that that's all I have to do is be in church. But John had all of that and he says, I knew him not. John was even running a ministry. I need somebody to help me. John, you might be running a ministry around here and be doing stuff around here. John was even running a ministry. He was baptizing people and preaching, but John said this, I knew him not. You might be dressed better than everybody in here. You might have walked in and said, I can't believe the teacher or the preacher's not in a tie. Everybody all right? I had a man when I first come here, I used to take my tie off. Now I just spare y'all that. I don't wear one. I remember I used to wear the tie. Y'all remember that? And I'd take the tie off. I remember some men met up in my office and they said, hey, preacher, there's some people are going to leave the church if you keep taking off your tie. I'm not lying to y'all. I'm not lying to y'all. This is the kind of crap I had to deal with when I first come here. So the next service, I got up in there and the first thing I did, Jesse, I took off my tie and I said, if you don't like it, you can leave. I don't do very good with that whole people thing. I'm working on it, though. Y'all pray for me, all right? Just because you dress better than everybody else don't mean I need somebody to hear me. We got some Christians running around here thinking because they got a suit on and they wear a tie and they got fancy shoes on and everything. I promise you right now I'd be in flip-flops if God allow it. Y'all hear me? Jesus wore sandals. I ought to be able to wear them, too. I need somebody to say amen. Thank you, Miss Lucy. I appreciate you. There's scriptural evidence. There's not only sovereign evidence, there's scriptural evidence that led John to the Messiah. Number three, there was supernatural evidence that led John to the Messiah. Matthew chapter number 11, I've already quoted some of this, but the lame, he told God, or Jesus told John's disciples, he said, go back and tell John that the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 21, we find out Jesus said the blind see, they're cured of many infirmities, cured of many plagues, and cured of evil spirits. God said this, it says, if the sovereign evidence of God saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, if that doesn't convince you that Jesus is saved, or Jesus is a Savior, then there's scriptural evidence. You can go all the way through his life. He fulfills every prophecy from the Old Testament. I need somebody to help me. His birth, his life, his death is all fulfilled and is all prophesied of in the Old Testament. Evidence that he is the Messiah. But if you don't believe all that, there's a supernatural evidence that he is Messiah as well. We go through scripture and we see all through scripture of how he healed blind man. How many of y'all remember blind Bartimaeus that sat on the side of the road and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. How many of y'all remember him? Yep, he got his sight back. Y'all remember that? There was men. How many of y'all remember John chapter number 5? The old boy that was sitting over there by Solomon's porch. He was sitting on the porches by the pool of Bethesda, and he could not walk. Bible says for 38 years he could not walk, and yet Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he healed him. How about that widow woman of Nain? You remember that? She was going to a funeral carrying her son in a coffin and Jesus walked by and said, let me interrupt for just a few moments. You'll need that coffin, but it won't be now. Somebody say amen. Old Jairus came to Jesus and he says, hey, my little girl is sick and I need you. Jesus said, take me to her. Show me where she's at. And on the way, as they were going, this woman came up with an issue of blood. She touched Jesus and Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? She was healed of an infirmity in her life. And then Jesus went on and walked into the house of Jairus and saved or resurrected his daughter. How about old Lazarus? Oh, please come. My brother's sick. The one that you love, he's sick. Jesus said, we'll just wait around for a little bit. They said, why are we waiting around? He said, Lazarus is dead. Now we're going to go do something. Jesus walked over. He said, show me where he's at. They took him to the tomb. He said, remove the stone. And he said, Lazarus. Could y'all imagine that? Somebody got to hear me. The same voice that cried out in Genesis chapter number 1. The same voice that said in Genesis chapter number 1, let there be light. And there was light. The same voice called into that tomb and said, Lazarus, it's time to go, son. I'm hungry. The Bible says that Lazarus got up wrapped in grave clothes and come out of the tomb. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that if sovereign evidence isn't enough for you and scriptural evidence isn't enough for you, there's plenty of supernatural evidence of this man called Jesus that walked the face of the earth, not only in your Bible, but there's historical records of what he did and what he accomplished in this life. What I'm trying to tell you is that he is the Savior. You can know him. You can know him. John had sovereign evidence. John had scriptural evidence. John had supernatural evidence. Everybody ready for the last one? I don't know if John had it, but I got it. Self-evidence. I need somebody that saved in the building to help me out. I can't attest that I wasn't there. I did not hear the Father cry out of heaven and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, but I believe it happened. I'm just saying I wasn't there when it happened. I wasn't there when scripture was written and I didn't see Jesus walk the face of the earth, but I have scriptural evidence that he is the Messiah. I didn't see him perform any supernatural acts as far as somebody's physical condition. I didn't see him make anybody to be able to see or cause anybody to be able to speak or cause anybody to be able to hear, cause anybody to be able to walk. But there was a day in my life when I was blind. It was a day in my life when I was deaf to what the scripture said, but God opened up my ears and God opened up and gave me sight. I can say there was a supernatural work in me that you can't take away and Satan can't take away. Self-evidence. You can fight me on a lot of things, but you can't fight me on my testimony. September 28, 1997, I got saved. September 27, 1997, I knew him not. But on September 28, 1997, I knew him. I know him. I met him. I've had a relationship with him for quite a while right now. And let me say this, he wants to have a relationship with you. That's a lot of people. A lot of people walking around with a knowledge, got a head knowledge, but they don't know him. John had every advantage in the world, every privilege in the world, every religious privilege in the world. He should have known who Jesus was, but his confession was, I knew him not. He was in the middle of doing the work. Are y'all hearing me? He was in the middle of doing the work, and he says, I knew him not. And you and I sit here, turn it off when the preacher goes to a salvation message. As if we had it all figured out. We a lot smarter than John the Baptist. There's a teenager sitting in here and you counting on your mom and daddy to get you to heaven.
That's right.
You ain't got a relationship and it's evident. It's obvious. You're rebellious. Is everybody all right? Can I have some fun with the teenagers before I get on to y'all? You rebellious. Everything about you says that you don't know him. But you sit here and put on a facade. You said, oh, you go to school and call all them girls hypocrite. You hypocrite. You know, they hypocrite. They bunch of hypocrites. When you walk into church on Sunday morning and you the biggest hypocrite in here. Amen. I need somebody to help me. Got boys running around here. They know when to say amen. They know when to act like they say, but they ain't. Mama ain't going to get you saved. Daddy ain't going to get you saved. That little mom and pop prayer that you give over your meal ain't going to get you saved. Y'all know the one I'm talking about, right? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for it. We live in a life trying to convince everybody that we know him when we know him not. Let me go ahead. Is everybody all right? I told y'all I was going to get on to the adults. There's a lot of adults running around doing the same thing. Oh, it's Sunday morning, Jesse. Let me go to church. Is everybody all right? Got to put on my Jesus. I need somebody to help me. Got to put on my Jesus. How are you doing? It's so nice to see you. I'm so glad you come to our church. If there's anything that we can do for you, just let me know. I can help you in any way. Is everybody all right? That's only if you drove separate for your wife on the way to church. If you didn't, you got out of the car cussing, put your Jesus on in the parking lot. Amen. I can't believe you. Hey, how are y'all doing? Y'all all on restriction. I'm a throw all y'all in jail. I'm done with y'all. Hey. We sure are glad you come to Calvary Baptist Church. Here's my phone number if I can ever. I love how many people want to counsel people too. Look here, I know all y'all. Ain't none of y'all got your life together. Quit counseling people.
Amen.
Is everybody all right? That's like a man trying to write how to raise a teenager when he ain't never had a kid.
Amen.
Y'all better hear me. Some of y'all trying to give marriage advice and you're on your fourth. You ain't got it figured out. Sorry. That was too easy. That was like a slow pitch. You got to hit it. I mean, it was coming. We're so quick to put Jesus on. But the question is do you know him? Because here's what happens. What I just did, that's what happens as soon as Sunday is over. I need somebody. I won't go any farther than that. Don't worry. Some of y'all got worried. Whoa, preacher. It's all right. Gloves are off. Sunday's over. Now I can go back to living who I really am. Question this morning is, do you know him? Teenager, do you know him? Y'all know him? I'm just making sure. Y'all talking about something else. I figured I'd just check on y'all, see if y'all know him. Everybody all right? I can do that with a teenager. One of you adults get on Facebook and leave the church over it. They ain't going nowhere. I know their parents. Do you know him this morning? If John could go through life, Brother Vic, have parents that was involved in church, have a pedigree of knowing Jesus, have peculiarities and practices that say, hey, if he has all them things, come on, y'all, talk to me now. Let's just be honest with one another. If that could happen to John the Baptist, why couldn't it happen to us, dog? If John could stand up and preach, repent, and yet he didn't know him. John could baptize a multitude and know him not.
then we think looking after the nursery, we think being assistant in Sunday school or being assistant in children's church or working a care team or working in the choir. Or...
Amen.
The question this morning is, do we know Him? Right. Do you know Him? Heads are bowed. Dalton's coming to the piano. These things, if this could be John, then it could be you. I need somebody to, I'm being sincere this morning. I need somebody. This message is solely because I don't want you to die and go to hell.
Amen.
And I want you to know that there's a real danger in having a complete knowledge of Jesus but not knowing Him. John knew everything about Him. Raised in the same family. But yet he says, I know Him not. I knew Him not. How about this morning? Be honest with me. Nobody's looking around. It's just me. But if you were to die in the seat that you're sitting in this morning, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you know Him?